personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Being a Chicago sports fan sucks, Dal.
Literally. You act like it's any harder than anybody else.
Every front office we have, all at the exact same time, have all decided to crap the bed in one summer. It's the most amazing thing I've ever
seen. You know what's kind of fun, though, Aaron, is you were so upbeat. You were so upbeat for the new guy for the Bears.
Until, like, literally today.
And that's gone. Of course, we're back after a couple weeks. Aaron was off. What is my brother? He uses a phrase. He was a gadabout. He was gadabouting around the country, gallivanting, otherwise known as visiting his parents and letting them see their grandchild. So selfish.
Yes.
So selfish. But we come back today, and we're talking about the fact that Roquan Smith, who you have talked about this, even when Roquan Smith was not the subject of anything, how underrated you feel he is and what an underrated player he is.
Yes, and especially considering that his one flaw that people talk about is he's not really a turnover creator, which in the modern NFL is that more important than just being solid on defense. And I can sort of see that argument for teams like Buffalo and Kansas City when you're like, well, we're just going to score 40 points. So really, we can give up 20 as long as we get two or three interceptions from our defense. Nobody, I don't know. I kind of like having a real solid middle linebacker. However, that was in our old man-based 3-4 defense that we had. His athleticism, I genuinely feel, would be really good in this Tampa 2 we're about to play under Eberflus. Just let him play as the Brian Urlacher role, running around in the middle, and you're good to go. Probably would create a couple of over-the-middle interceptions like Brian used to.
He kind of sounds to me, and I say this very complimentary because I love this guy. I love London Fletcher. But mm-hmm. London Fletcher, if you look at his career, it is almost identical to Ray Lewis, with the exception of a couple of couple of stat lines. So, yeah, Ray Lewis probably has more fumble recoveries, maybe some things like that. But games played, tackles, you know, passes, defense. I mean, seriously, they're almost identical. Ray Lewis is a first ballot Hall of Famer, quote unquote, and London Fletcher had to talk people into letting him get into the Pro Bowl at the end of his career. And now, at least Roquan Smith, people already recognize how good he is. He's a two-time All-Pro. Here's the thing I came across, Aaron, that I'm like, and they want to get rid of this guy? There's one player in the league who had, since 2018, has 500-plus tackles and 40-plus tackles for loss, and his name's Roquan Smith.
Yes, he's the first player since Ray Lewis to, over a two-year stretch, have the combination of 300 or more tackles with 40 or more of them being for a loss. And Ray Lewis are the only two players on that list.
So he is requesting a trade. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to get one.
No.
But the fact of the matter is, Aaron, let's be honest, when these players do this,
he usually comes with a holdout.
Well, because he has no reason to stay.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I mean, we don't know. For all we know, he hates the direction the Bears are going. He doesn't want to be part of a long-term rebuild.
The official reason given was that he said that during negotiations, he has wanted to be paid as a top-three linebacker in the league, and he said that the Bears have consistently lowballed him, and at the end of each offer have stated outright the phrase, take it or leave it, which he finds to be disrespectful.
It is disrespectful.
So
he's 25.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Oh, wait, because you're the Bears.
Well, speaking of, this happened after our last episode, so it can go on to this one. While we're talking about it, Alex DeBrincat is 24 years old and was the leading goal scorer on the Blackhawks last year. He's a 40-goal scorer perennially, and that's like a major milestone in the NHL. That's like being a
40's a big number.
A double-digit touchdown scorer, yeah, as a wide receiver, I'll say, is what's comparable to that. He is a superstar winger. The Blackhawks decided that with their new general manager, they were going to start a rebuild, and rather than starting that by just drafting well, they said, well, I want more draft picks. And they traded Alex DeBrincat for a pair of first-round picks. I said, I don't care how many first-round picks you got. You already have Alex DeBrincat. Like, are you going to replace him? In those? Maybe. But you already had him. Why do you take the unknown potential over the known superstar? Why is that a thing that so many GMs want to do? They treat draft picks like they're like worth $1 billion each. When in honestly, I'd rather just have the guy who I know what he is. Because draft picks can go so many ways.
Which, as a Bears fan, meaning you, mm-hmm. I understand why you want him to stay, because he's a cornerstone. You can build around him. He's a guy that makes his unit better. He makes the side of the ball better. From his standpoint, though, one, if he's not going to get the money, then he's going to leave anyway, whether it's this year or next year. So he will hold out because he will get his money. And if you're the Bears, you'd be stupid not to trade him in a holdout, because then you get nothing when he leaves. So eventually they're going to trade him. I mean, unless there's a change of heart, let's just be honest. That's going to happen.
Yeah, and I still say that if you get less than two first-round picks for Roquan Smith, I march to Hallis Hall and I burn it.
So I guess that was my question. What is a fair price for someone like that? And see, I think you're selling him a little cheap.
I would say it's two first-round picks.
He's an all-pro.
And they're not going to get it.
And he's 25.
They're going to get lowballed like they were with Mac, and they're going to get a third-round pick just to tell the fans, see, we were going to lose him anyway. We got something.
I'm with you. They need to get at least two first-rounders, preferably one of them in the top half, because you're talking about one of the premier linebackers in the league.
You know who needs a middle linebacker is the Jets.
Washington needs, although we're going to have Cole Holcomb, but that's the thing. Washington has long bargain shopped for their linebackers, and they've done that again. I like who they have, but they have question marks there. They're asking Cole Holcomb to be the middle linebacker, which I think he's going to be up for. I think he's going to have a good year. But Jamin Davis, they drafted him in the first round. He was obviously a reach. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're expecting him to... there were people saying, ooh, he might be defensive rookie of the year. Yeah, he didn't even crack the starting lineup till the last month, so that's not good. And then you have, you know, some various rotational guys.
All right, two first-round picks, you can have Roquan Smith.
Well, and that's the thing. There's a lot of Washington fans saying, hell yeah, go get that guy. You need a stud linebacker, which is true. But if you're Washington, you've already invested so heavily in the D-line, and you're going to have to pay Cam Curl. In the defensive secondary. I don't know they can do that. But here's the part that pisses me off, and I'm going to say this knowing that it's going to happen. He's going to wind up on Dallas. He's going to go to freaking Dallas. And they're going to pay him.
They don't have any middle linebacker spots open.
It doesn't even matter. They don't have any cap space either, but they find it. They always end up with these types of situations. And they always, I don't know what they do. They front load everything and give them all guaranteed money and then cut them 2 years later if they have to. But I would not be shocked at all if Roquan Smith ends up in Dallas. And that would just piss me off.
All right, so as we're talking about this, Ian Rapoport tweeted, according to my Twitter thing, 8 seconds ago, but it's been 8 seconds since I opened this, but so that's, surely that can't be true.
It's pretty quick.
He said, the quote from Ryan Poles, right now my intentions are to make sure I do everything I can to be sure that Roquan Smith is on this team for the long haul.
He's getting traded.
So that's what the quote was, and the very first comment was some random fan who says, then pay him then.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing though, Aaron. I think that ship has sailed. Just reading some of the stuff that Roquan Smith has stated, that ship has sailed. If they came in and they offered him, let's say it's $23 million or whatever that number is, and that puts him as like the third highest paid linebacker in the league.
Yeah.
That's not good enough anymore. They've pissed him off. They've insulted him, and they've done it in full view of the league now.
Yeah.
So Roquan Smith is not taking the Bears' money right now. It's done. You might as well freaking just deal with it. It's done.
Dallas trying really hard to get this to Ryan Poles, so he's like, oh, there's no chance now. Please trade him to Washington. Please trade him to Washington.
Well, what I'm telling you right now, Washington won't do it. Even if they should, which I don't know. That's the thing. When it's your team, at least me anyway, my goggles are so thick that I can't – there's certain nuances that I can't necessarily understand. Would that be a good trade for Washington? I really have no idea. Personally, I think where they're at, it's a bit much because are we expecting to win the Super Bowl this year?
To me, have Roquan Smith for probably 4 or 5 years minimum if you go get him because he's 25.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But Washington, again, I'm just coming from a Washington standpoint. You also just signed Terry McLaurin to $20 million plus.
Mm-hmm.
You just signed Jonathan Allen to one of the bigger deals for a D-line. You've got Daron Payne coming up. You got Cam Curl coming up. You've got there's some guys coming up that you're going to have to pay if you want to keep them. And I don't see it happening. But again, I need someone else to tell me if that's even a good idea because I'm blind. What do you is that a good idea for Washington?
I would say that Roquan Smith would probably. Here's what I would compare it to: the potential is. You do exactly what the Bears did in 2018. I think Roquan Smith is maybe that piece to your defense that would be... In 2017, the Bears had a high teens-ranked defense in the league. I think they were like 12th or 13th. And everyone praised Vic Fangio for taking that team who had no defensive players and making them a decent defense, which is kind of what Washington was last year. I think they might have even sniffed into the top 10. And then what happened in 2018? Well, one, they got Khalil Mack. Two, they drafted Roquan Smith. Other than that, they had the same defense as the previous year. They were number one in the league.
I look at it, and part of me is...
And you already have Khalil Mack-ish on your roster if his knees last for 17 entire consecutive games, which is the... I really like Chase Young. I don't know how...
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. And he's going to miss the first part of the season. Let's be honest. He's still rehabbing. He'll probably be back sooner rather than later. But I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't play the whole first month of the season. Let's be honest. It hasn't even been a calendar year.
If you could have Carson Wentz and McLaurin throwing deep balls for your offense, and then you have the 2018 Bears defense minus four games, that's still not so bad.
Well, and that's I guess that's the pro side of maybe... going after Roquan Smith is...
You are going to have so much fun losing in the wild card round.
Well, but Washington has already spent so much capital on trying to build that defensive line with Montez Sweat.
Which
Chase
now
Young.
Doesn't have a coach, by the way. That too is breaking.
Yeah, that was kind of... That's happened just today. They fired Mike Sims, I think is his name. They fired their defensive line coach. Here's what I think. We'll come back to that. But I feel like if Washington had a playmaking middle linebacker, and again, maybe Cole Holcomb can be that. Maybe he's not. Maybe he can be. But if you had a bona fide guy like Roquan Smith playing behind that line, doesn't that kind of make opposing quarterbacks seep in their underwear just a little bit?
A little bit. We'd have to play him.
I just
on Thursday night,
and if he's and if Daron Payne and those guys are keeping like the double team, he'd make some big numbers.
Speaking of that game, did you see the atrocious helmet that the Bears are going to be wearing against you guys?
Which one is it? No, I don't think I did.
Their stupid alternate that's orange. Their orange alternate helmet.
Okay,
we look like the U of I.
I did see that.
Yeah. Oh, it's hideous.
Yeah, of all the teams, why mess with tradition, Bears? You've been around almost longer than anyone
else.
Well,
I guess it's not messing with tradition because it's just a one-game thing. It's just, you know, it's ugly.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Like, if you're going to have an alternate helmet, just go back to those 40s retros that I actually like, the ones with the orange numbers.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, those were nice.
So I was going to come back to something. What was that?
I don't know. I wasn't inside your mind at the time.
No, we were talking, and then we started talking, and I'm like, let me finish this, and we'll come back to it.
I don't know, Dal.
All right. It's fine.
But while I'm whining about Chicago front offices, too, this one might not even be our fault, as it was apparently the Angels who backed out, and you might see where I'm going with this. The news broke the day after the trade deadline, and no one even knew that this was happening. So why break the news afterwards just to depress people about a trade that didn't happen but almost did? Why does that ever come out? All that does is make me want to burn things.
You come back with quite an arsonist mindset.
Yes, but no one will ever prove anything.
Can I? Sorry, go ahead and finish, and then yeah. I do. I want to move on to college.
Okay. The White Sox and Angels had apparently, mere hours before the deadline, come to an agreement on a trade to send Shohei Ohtani to the Chicago White Sox.
That would be awesome.
And the Angels, at freaking witching hour, got cold feet and said, actually, never mind, there's no trading Ohtani.
Oh, you mean you don't want to trade the greatest two-way player of the last 100 years?
Apparently.
Oh, you...
They haven't released...
You changed your mind, did you?
They haven't released the full package that the White Sox would have been sending over, but we do know for a fact it would have included Lucas Giolito. Thank you for taking him off our hands. Andrew Vaughn. And I believe it was up to 6 top 10 prospects from the White Sox farm system.
Yeah, do it.
And I said, you know what? For Shohei Ohtani, okay, we lose Giolito. He's a worse pitcher than Ohtani is. And we lose Andrew Vaughn, who hits for better average than Ohtani, but you would not say is a better overall batter than Ohtani is. I said, oh, good. And then the prospects are prospects. It stings a little, but whatever. And then we'd have Giolito and Andrew Vaughn, if they were both on steroids, in one player.
You know
right
how
back
many,
on the team.
Do you know how many jerseys Shohei Ohtani would sell in Chicago?
Shohei Ohtani would own Chicago.
He would.
By September.
They would, you'd have nothing but Ohtani jerseys. They would make that, they would make so much money.
Cubs fans would not leave the house.
Well, and here's the thing. The Angels just set a record, was it last week? Mm-hmm. As a team, they hit 7 home runs.
And lost.
And lost the game. Okay, now as someone who kind of got into baseball during the 90s, with the Blake Street Bombers in Denver with the Colorado Rockies when they were new. They had Andres Galarraga, Vinny Castilla, Dante Bichette, Larry Walker. I mean, it was fun. It was fun to go to a baseball game because even if they lost, it was like 12 to 10. It was fun. And even they obviously didn't hit 7 home runs and lose in a game. And they've got 2 of the best players... Historically,
they have the 2 best players on the planet right now.
At least arguably. I mean, I know Trout's not 100%, obviously, but...
Well, yes, but I was talking more like in general.
But yeah,
I guess.
They have $1 billion worth of player just in those two. It's depressing.
And apparently, after they pulled a bit of a Roquan, because then Ohtani told him that when his contract is up, not at the end of this year, but at the end of next year... He has no interest in re-signing with the Angels, so they might lose him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that's the thing.
You might as well have gotten 6 prospects.
And maybe they still will. Just not going to be today.
I would have preferred it had been, whatever it was, a week and a half
ago. On the deadline.
That would have been fantastic.
So, you were talking about the Illini just a little bit ago, talking about the Chicago helmets. I'm going to talk about the Big Ten, of which the Illini are part. Because
in the same way that Purdue is.
Yeah.
But, okay.
But this is pretty big news. ESPN and the Big Ten they're done. They've been in negotiations, but they have been a partnership for a long time for television money. And according to news from Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, ESPN has rejected the Big Ten's final offer of 7 years, $380 million. They've rejected that. And so the Big Ten is now moving on that will add CBS and NBC while ending the partnership with ESPN. which is kind of a big deal for both parties. Because right now, outside the SEC, the Big Ten feels like kind of the gorilla out there that is kind of dictating terms. They're going to be the big Northeast of the country gorilla plus the East Coast or the West Coast, plus whatever else they pick the plums of. I don't know. But to me, that was kind of a big deal because you've got these teams that are used to making X number of dollars and they're still going to make a lot of money. But things are changing and they're asking, their people are asking for $380 million. Over 7 years, I can see why they turned it down. That is absolutely crazy. That is so much money. Maybe part of it's because my team's in the Mountain West, and you could add all of our endowments together in the Mountain West, and they don't add up to $380 million. So, well, that may not totally be true, but I'll bet it's close. Anyway, I'm all kind of in the Big Ten mode. Because Wyoming opens up at Illinois.
In Illinois.
Hey, and guess what? The point dropped. It dropped. It was 10.5. Now it's 9.5. Here come the Cowboys, baby.
Are you insinuating to me right now that the Illini are favored in a college football game?
Boy, you're harsh. They're not that bad.
they were reasonably atrocious.
When you
pretty much since 2012.
When you compare them to the whole league, maybe, but they're still middle of the road, Big Ten. Anyway.
I had an ex-teammate that played for Illinois.
You and I are betting on this, right?
You know what? Why not?
By the way, I need to get that hat to Max. I gotta get
I still need my baby Bulls hat.
I still need to do that. I actually looked once, and I didn't like... And I was... I'm like, screw it. I gotta order this and get it done so I don't look like a bet moocher. And then I was looking, and then I end up not ordering one at the time, even though I'm like, I'm just going to order one, because I didn't like the styles. And I'm like, Baby Max deserves better than what I'm seeing here.
Oh, I can finally, I don't know why this popped in my head. I can finally tell this story now, because my wife's birthday has passed. She has now gotten the gift, so this won't spoil anything. I got her, so she's a Cardinals fan. She's from Illinois, but from the southwest region of Illinois, so much closer to St. Louis. So her fam and her, she actually shares a birthday with Yadier Molina, and she was a catcher on her softball team. So she's a big Yadi fan.
Wow.
So I got her the hoodie for her birthday that has the arch in the background, and it's Adam Wainwright, Yadier Molina, and Albert Pujols like walking toward the arch, and it just says the final run. The three of them are back together this season. We assume this will be Pujols' last year. Wainwright and Molina could go at any time. So, you know, it was kind of a big deal for people in St. Louis. I got her the hoodie. After I purchased the hoodie from MLB Shop, I found that a bunch of my auto pay bills over the next few days were coming back as declined.
Oh, no.
I had to look into it. The bank put a hold on my card for suspicious activity.
Because it was St. Louis.
Because, yeah, they could not believe I had purchased a St. Louis from stlouiscardinalshop.com was actually what it was.
That is awesome.
They put a hold on my card for buying a Cardinals hoodie.
That is...
What?
I can see why, though. I mean, I've only known you for 7-8 months. And I don't think you own anything non-Chicago that you haven't picked up since you got here. I mean, you have a couple of Wyoming things now.
Wyoming t-shirt
because I've guilted you into it.
Listen, I actually just really liked the way that the shirt and shorts kind of looked.
Well, because they're awesome.
And I hate brown and yellow as a color combo, but those were really cool looking shorts. I know. Okay? And once you've got the shorts, you have to get the shirt. That is the law. The police will arrest you if you do not. However, technically, you're incorrect on that. I do have one jersey from every NFL team, for what that's worth.
But I don't ever see you wear them.
No. Of course, I don't know that you've ever just been around when I'm, like, watching football on... Because sometimes, just as a goof, when the Bears... If, like, the Bears are playing at noon, I'll put on my Bears jersey, and then their game will end, and then the 3 o'clock games will start, and then I'll just pick. I'm like, okay, which of these teams is most important to me wins today? and I'll go swap my Bears jersey and put on that random, and then Sunday Night Football comes around, and whoever I'm rooting for, I'll put on that jersey. Just for fun. I'm like, well, I have them. It's better than them just sitting in the closet, I guess.
That's true.
So I'm like, oh, what the heck. Usually, it's whatever jersey of the team that's playing Green Bay gets second
so,
dibs.
Coming back to this, if we're betting on Wyoming and Illinois, do I get the points here? Huh. I mean, that's as it stands, it's 9.5.
You know what?
It doesn't happen for another 3 weeks or so.
I can give you the points. I'm only hesitant because I can't believe that that's even the real spread. But what the heck? It is the spread, so you can have
it. I'm going off memory, so let me re-look it up.
I am so sure that Illinois will probably find a way to lose outright that I can't believe that they have a spread in their favor.
Okay. Actually, it's still 10.5. I thought I had read it was 9.5.
All right, you may have the 10.5 points. Should I just give you the $5 now, or?
Oh, no, we're betting a hat here, man.
Oh, okay. Should I just go ahead and start looking that up for you here? Is that?
Wow. I'm surprised you're not talking any trash here.
I have.
You must have zero faith in the Illini.
I have very little. First of all, they just fired Lovie Smith. And for that, they will
just
burn. Well, I get, okay, it was like 2 years ago.
I see Brett Bielema is their head coach now.
Yeah, it still just stings. I loved you, Lovie Smith.
He was good.
If only the Texans had even one single player worth anything, because I want the Texans to be good for Lovie. But it's not going to happen.
So, anyway, so I guess I get the Cowboys plus 10.5.
You watch.
Illinois will win by 11 points. You watch.
On one of those, Wyoming will get like sack fumbled on their final drive down three.
Or else Illinois will be driving, and then Wyoming will stop them at the 30, and they'll kick a field goal to go from 8 to 11. And
no, because that would actually be like football prevalent. Like, oh, good, that just secured our win. I mean one of those where it's like, okay, the clock hits zero, and then Wyoming's quarterback throws up a prayer and it's picked off, but then for no reason, Illinois decides to return it 80 yards for a touchdown.
And then here's what's
bettors everywhere kill
supposedly,
themselves.
Supposedly, now am I saying their name right? Brett Bielema, am I saying that correct? He used to coach Wisconsin, right? Okay, let me Google it.
Maybe you do need to. Now remember,
Bielema, B-I-E-L-E-M-A.
You're going to have to remember, Dow, that Illinois would be my third choice of team to watch on a college football.
All right. Well, I'm just saying.
I would have far more faith if Wyoming were playing either Notre Dame or Northwestern.
Well,
I will say that.
Actually, I like our chances against Northwestern. Notre Dame, probably not so much.
Northwestern is better than Illinois, though, I think.
As long as
Pat Fitzgerald is the coach, I will always have a little bit of faith.
So, Brett Bielema or Bielema. I'm not quite sure how to say his name.
Bielema.
Anyway, he's already so Coach Bowl for Wyoming. Mm-hmm. He's entering his ninth season at UW, and of course before that he had all the national championships at North Dakota State. He was at Nebraska before that. He's had a long coaching career. He's been coaching for 35.
He's been coaching some very good NFL quarterbacks from some tiny schools.
But he's been coaching for 35. plus years.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, supposedly in Illinois' one of their meetings recently, they referred to their first game as "we're playing some preseason game against Wyoming." Pronounced it Wyoming, and Bull heard this and said Wyoming. So basically, he addressed this at Wyoming's media day, which was last Wednesday. I ran over to Laramie and back. Which, for those of you who don't understand how big of a state Wyoming is, that's 400 miles each way. I went over, was there for 2 hours, and came back. That was a 14-hour day. And I'm glad to do it. I love the Cowboys, but that came up in the media day, and he brought that up and says, that's going in the locker room. They don't even know where we are.
I don't know why it wouldn't.
Yeah, Wyoming. That's offensive to Wyoming and Miami, I guess.
I mean, I remember...
What's weird is over where you're from, though, in that Chicago, Detroit, Ohio area...
I don't know that you
there
understand.
There are places called Wyoming, but they're like... They're like towns or streets or something. We're a state.
I love how you were talking about it like it was just an area, but you're clearly just meaning the Midwest as a whole.
Okay.
Ohio is quite a ways away.
But I'm just saying, not from a Wyoming standpoint. We're the ninth biggest state. We drive across it all the time.
No, I meant, but I think Ohio, from where I grew up in Naperville, was something like a 12 or 14 hour drive.
Okay, that's fair, because you got to come around the...
Yeah.
I guess I'm, as the crow flies, which you can't do. anyway. But, Wyoming. Coach Bull was pretty pointed. He said Wyoming was picked to not do well by the Mountain West preseason.
You always love when a team that won all of four games last year comes out and starts making fun of their opponents.
They went
preseason of this year.
Illinois went 5-7 last
year.
My
apologies.
Five. Well, and here's the thing. I don't think it was done maliciously. I honestly think Wyoming is such an afterthought for most people. They probably don't even know what state they're playing. But that's why Coach Bull is like, we're going to remind you.
The only reason I think of that is I remember, and that's just outright statement. I remember when I was at MBU when we were playing college football, and we were playing...
Now, for those that don't understand, MBU is...
Missouri Baptist.
Okay.
We were playing St. Francis, who was the reigning conference champion.
Bastards.
Oh, I hate St. Francis. Dick Butkus' nephew did play quarterback for them while I was there.
Oh, I take it back then. I'm scared of Dick Butkus.
His nephew was a very good running quarterback. He was very difficult to study. He couldn't throw a... They might as well have just had Dick Butkus back there. He couldn't throw a ball worth anything.
His gnarled hands.
My goodness, could he run. Anyhow, they were a very good team. They were undefeated this year. And this season, they ended up winning the national championship that I'm about to talk about. But I remember we were going into the game, and on Tuesday, they spent their media day talking about the week. They never mentioned us once. They talked about Marion the whole time, who was the other undefeated team in our conference that they played the week after us. He mentioned Marion like 20 times in his press conference and did not mention us once. And that literally, we wrote that on the whiteboard, and it was what we did every day at practice. And we made it like this rivalry where the scout team wasn't allowed to warm up on the same half of the field as the starters.
Because they were...
They had to wear black jerseys.
Because they were St. Francis.
They were St. Francis. And we ended up coming out, and we took a 14-0 lead on the first two plays of the game against the eventual national champions, who would then end up waking up and stomping us. I believe it ended up being like 42-28 or something. Closer than we were given credit for, though, because we were not good. I think we won like four games that year.
Gave him a run.
But, yeah, we thought it was hilarious that here comes St. Francis, who forgot to even mention us in their press conference. Our first play of the game, kickoff goes through the end zone. We come out. Hut. We throw a fade. His name was Isaiah King. He's currently playing in the Canadian Football League.
Good for him.
He just signed up there. So, way to go, Isaiah. Good work.
Do you remember which team?
No, I do not, unfortunately. I should really look that up.
I like Canada's names. Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
He catches an 80-yard touchdown on the first play of the game. We're all jumping up and down. St. Francis gets their kickoff. They run it back. They end up fumbling the kickoff. We pick it up. Okay, we got the ball at midfield because our kick coverage is awful. That's the first person that touched him, but at least we made him fumble. Get the ball at midfield. Second offensive play of the game. Hut, let's just throw it deep to Isaiah again. Oh, he caught it again. 50-yard touchdown, 14-0.
Sounds like he deserves to be playing pro ball. Take that.
So, hopefully, this game doesn't open up 14-0 Wyoming. Thanks to Illinois.
Well, if it does, hopefully it's after two long, sustained drives.
No, you get two bombs in a row.
Because I don't like those games when that happens. Yeah, there's just too much time, too much momentum swing. But I'm super excited for college football. It is honestly one of my favorite things in the world. I'm excited for the Cowboys to go play Illinois, and then they come back. They host Tulsa the week after that. And then, it's always neat when they get to try and go up against one of those Power 5 schools. Mm-hmm. The last one they played, they beat them. 2019, they beat Missouri in Laramie, and that was a hell of a game. It was a lot of fun. Missouri people didn't think so.
I kind of miss when Illinois and Mizzou played the opening day game every year for like 10 straight years.
That's why I don't like I don't like what's going on with all this conference changing, and none of it makes any sense. It's just based on money.
I was about to say, because Illinois was never like my team when I lived in Illinois. That's why I said it was kind of funny. I never cared that much about it. They were the third team. It was like, well, my whole family is Notre Dame fans. I'm a Notre Dame fan. If Northwestern and Illinois are doing well, I will cheer for them because they're Illinois and Northwestern. They're from my state. Okay, it's not as good as Notre Dame, but nice of them. And then I moved to Missouri, where at the time, Mizzou and Illinois was considered a rivalry because they played on opening day every single year. And because of that, suddenly, I cared a lot more about Illinois all of a sudden.
Now I remember what I was going to come back and talk about. Washington firing Sam Mills, their defensive line coach. That happened today. Ron Rivera cited a difference of philosophy.
By the way,
but they're in training camp.
Is that Hall of Fame linebacker Sam Mills, or does he just share a name?
I think that Sam Mills died, actually. One that just got in, he had cancer.
Oh.
So I'm pretty sure it's not the same guy. But, this is his kid. This is his son. Okay.
Very nice.
But I also want to say this. Over this offseason, Washington brought in Warren Sapp for their mini camp, and apparently they really liked what he did as a coach. He coached the D-line, at least as a volunteer, whatever. In addition to that, just in the last 2 weeks, Ryan Kerrigan signed a one-day contract to retire as... It sounds weird. He was never a commander. He was a Redskin and a football teamer. Anyway, but he signed with Washington so he could retire. And then, he spent like this last week working with the D-line. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if you fire this guy, especially in the middle of training camp, maybe it's because, and then there's already a report that Warren Sapp is back in town. Maybe it's because you're going to have Warren Sapp and or Ryan Kerrigan helping out coach your D-line, which is a hell of an upgrade. No offense to Mr. Mills. So I guess what I'm saying is some people look at that and go, oh, man, something's wrong here. I don't think it's a big deal. I think they're going to have somebody to coach him up. Supposedly Jeff Ganinia will replace him. There's a Z in front, but I'm assuming the Z is silent. Either that or it's Zaninia. I don't know. But philosophical differences. Mills' father, who died in 2005, was just inducted into the Hall of Fame. Wow, kind of a bittersweet week for him then. Mm-hmm. They just put their dad in and then, hey, Junior, you're fired.
Yeah.
Well,
granted, his name is Sam Mills.
He'll probably find another job.
So I'm positive he won't be unemployed for that long.
Probably because half the people will still try and sign him to play linebacker. That guy's a stud. Even if he is 55 years old. Oh, wait. Anyway, I guess I feel like Washington is actually going to bring... Ike Kerrigan or Sapp is going to help him with that, at least as an advisory role, with Jeff, hard to say his last name here, officially taking the job.
Yeah. Well,
there's one thing I also want to talk about. I want to talk about pro golf for a minute.
All right.
And this LIV thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's this Middle Eastern-backed league or organization.
The PGA said that if you join it, you're...
But they are offering just oceans of money to the... Especially if you're a major winner in the PGA, and a lot of them have taken it. A lot of current ones and a lot of former ones. And yeah, the PGA does not like this at all. They've come out and said, yeah, if you're going to play there, then you're not playing with us. They supposedly offered Tiger Woods between $700 and $800 million. Keeping in mind, Tiger Woods is basically playing on one leg now.
Mm-hmm.
They offered him that much to cut, and Tiger Woods said no. I got to tell you, I thought that was pretty cool because Tiger Woods, he comes from that lineage. He grew up with golf, but he also grew up with the legends of golf: Arnold Palmer, Jack. You know these guys, and they're like. Mm-hmm. And they grew up telling him, it's like, you've got to respect the game. You've got to honor the history of this game. Where I honestly don't think this LIV or LIV, I'm not even trying to say it. I don't think they do. They're just out there to make a scad load of money. Let's be honest. They're getting paid with oil money that is coming right out of the pockets of middle-class Americans. Let's just be honest. That's where they're getting their money from.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I guess I don't like it. And I'm impressed that Tiger Woods said, you know what? I mean, it's almost $1 billion.
Yeah.
And he said, no thanks. And that's kind of remarkable to me.
Well, we got quite a bit of wow. time left to pad.
You really didn't want to talk about golf. This one just came across today, too. Serena Williams, are you a tennis guy?
No.
Serena Williams says she is going to retire.
Oh.
Basically very soon, saying her career is winding down. She used the word retirement. Well, she didn't say retirement. She said evolve. She's going to evolve away from tennis. Is she the greatest player of all time, man or woman? I think you can make the argument that she is.
She has the most championships, doesn't she?
I think technically there is. There's one. Someone has one more. Something along those lines. But to do it the way she did it, and as dominant as she was, and I mean, I think she's finished second like a dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it isn't just the number of championships, but it's the number of times she reached the finals and stuff like. Anyway, kind of a. Okay, yeah, Margaret Court. Margaret Court had 24 championships. She has 23.
Okay.
But this is modern era. Let's be honest. No offense to Margaret Court. Serena Williams would blow her off the court. Her own court named Court. Anyway, that's...
Hard for me to judge entirely as someone that hasn't watched a great deal of the history of tennis.
She's just... She's a freak in nature, and I mean that in the best of ways. She's just the what she did. It's I don't know if you watched that King Richard movie that came out this last year
with Will Smith.
Will Smith, and he plays their father,
mm-hmm.
and he basically creates these two professional tennis players from the womb. He does. He had a plan. That's how the movie starts off. He said, "But to start my plan, I needed two more kids, so we had two more kids." And one of them was Venus, and the other was Serena. And so, anyway, but to see what they did from where they came from, absolutely remarkable. And I don't know that we'll ever see anything quite like that again. So I hope we appreciate what Serena Williams has done.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff. All right, now that I've made you comment on two things you don't care about, it's now your turn.
Okay, so... I got two lined up as a whammy here. I actually just recently promised, I got this group chat I talked to, they're all Bears fans, but the Chicago Sky, defending WNBA champions, by the way, happened to also be by far the best team in the league this year. And I said, all right, if they go back-to-back, I have no choice.
Does Candace Parker play for them?
Yes.
I like Candace Parker.
If they go back-to-back... I'm going to have to go out and buy myself an Ace jersey.
Really?
I'm going to have to get a Candace Parker Chicago Sky jersey to celebrate our back-to-back championships. And for those of you that care...
Very feminist of you.
I know it's not a great number, more than likely. But for those of you that do, Sunday, for what it's worth, the WNBA is a 16-team league, so... It's about half the size of the NBA, so this doesn't mean quite as much, but still kind of cool. We had the 1 versus the 3 right now, and the 2 versus the 4 on back-to-back games, broadcast on ESPN. And it's one of the few times I ever have access to actually watch the Chicago Sky outside the playoffs. They're never on television.
And they're the champs.
Well, the WNBA is unfortunately just never on television.
All right.
Yeah. But... And then I found out, I think it was Seattle. The WNBA might be getting a little bit of flack for this, too. The owner, now, it was either Seattle or Washington, didn't book them a hotel for their road trip. And when they got called out and they said, hey, the team forgot to order a hotel, apparently the response was, well, your flight leaves at 5 a.m. anyway, just sleep at the airport.
Oh, wow.
I played at a tiny little college where I wasn't even being paid. These are professional athletes, even if they, you know, their league is tiny and whatever. I have never been asked on a road trip to either A, sleep on the airport, or sleep at whatever junction it was we were using for transportation. Hey, sleep at the train station. Just the,
I don't know, like, if anybody specifically said it, but it's been implied in my job. It's been implied. It's like, well, you could just, you know, come on home / sleep in your car. That's been implied several times.
But yeah, so that was wild as well. And the other one that might constitute as big news, we're going to go over to wrestling now, Dal.
Yes.
Vince McMahon is retired.
Stepped away. Stephanie McMahon taking over. Triple H now the leader of
Creative.
See? I paid attention to this.
So Triple H got his big start as a writer during the initial run of NXT, which is their developmental.
It's so funny, writer.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It'd be even better if they added like the soap opera music behind when they're talking about these.
That would be great. But yes, so Triple H, who obviously wrestled for many years, to a certain generation that I was a part of, he was the villain of wrestling.
He went through a lot of water bottles.
Oh yeah, but who is it? There's a YouTube video once that said a good wrestling entrance should tell the audience who you are before you have to say a thing. The Undertaker's entrance tells you that he's a spooky dude. Triple H's entrance tells you that he's thirsty, but not too thirsty.
Oh, I thought it was, he does not conserve water. Screw you, Mother Earth.
But yeah, so he was the villain of my childhood as a wrestling fan. He always, you know, he had the belt all the time because he was the video game final boss of an era. You know what I mean? Now he's the head writer, and he was for their developmental show for many years. And his claim to fame with that is that many wrestling fans of circa 2015 to about 2019, before he ended up losing that job for reasons that no one fully understands, they actually gave him a promotion, but fired him from that job, which was
Weird.
So they gave him a pay raise, but told him he's not allowed to write for NXT anymore. Which apparently is just a thing he likes to do. He likes to be the head of creative. So now he gets to again. But during that span, many wrestling fans would tell you with a gun to their head that the developmental show, NXT, was better than anything that was happening on the main televised show. And it was. I watched it. It was so much better. And he's had his hands on the main roster now since SummerSlam. It was the first show he put on. And it had a crap card. No one was looking forward to it. It overperformed by a lot. People said, well, that's not a half bad start there. We had the very excellent main event between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, which was the most gif-able match in the history of, as Brock Lesnar pulled out a John Deere tractor. So this was a last man standing match, which means no DQs. Right. The only way to win is the opponent must be knocked out for 10 seconds. You can do anything. So they said, well, since wrestling rules dictate we can do anything, shouldn't that result in more than just throwing chairs at each other like it has? So he said, all right, anything. All right, Brock's going to get in a John Deere tractor. He's going to drive it to the ring. He's going to put the scoop under the ring, and he's going to flip the ring over. And it was great.
That is much more involved than just putting a wrench down your shorts.
We had announce tables flipped over onto people. We had interferences left and right. It was a huge. It basically just resembled a rock concert mosh pit at a certain point, but it was so entertaining to those of us that just like cartoony nonsense in our wrestling.
Here's something I want to know, though. Now, Vince McMahon is a dirtbag. He always has been.
Hey, put some respect on his name.
No, I'm not anymore.
He's the dirtbag.
Okay, he's the dirtbag. And I'm not taking away anything. Some of the things that he's built it in from, you know, he built the professional wrestling from a regional thing to what it is now. He's largely responsible for that. He did some really distasteful things in the name of promoting a show.
About the equivalent of staring out into the ocean and saying, bit wet.
The one that keeps popping into my head, and I can't remember the guy's name. They rammed his face into the butt cheeks.
Oh.
Of this other big wrestler guy.
No. That was Vince McMahon whose face went into his butt cheeks.
That's what I'm saying. So he, as the president and face of professional wrestling, got his face shoved into the nether regions.
Of the Big Show.
It was a different guy. He's like a Polynesian guy.
Oh, you're talking about Rikishi.
Okay, there you go.
Yes. Anyway, he's had his face in multiple butt cheeks.
Okay, so my thought is you can fake a lot of things, but you can't really fake that. And then so my thought is, Triple H, you up for this? Is this the kind of thing that he's going to be coming up with creatively?
To be fair, you can probably YouTube it. Triple H has also taken a stink face from Rikishi. That used to be...
It actually bothers me you have a name for it.
Oh, it was an official move in his moveset. He would put them in the corner. He'd sit them on the bottom rope after he's knocked them out cold. And, of course, he wore that sumo thong.
Right.
So to pop the crowd, he would always do it to bad guys. But he'd turn around and he'd rub his butt cheeks right in the bad guy's face. And the crowd would cheer. And they'd cheer so loud. They all loved the stink face.
I don't like that there's a name for it. That for some reason that bugs me. Because I can just imagine, Mommy, I'm going to buy the Rikishi action figure. Ooh, now comes with stink face move.
With stink face action.
Yeah. I just...
But on top of that, not only did the pay-per-view do well, that's... Of course, subjective, I guess, because we're not talking like ratings yet. We're just, is it better or worse as someone who had to watch it, which I was. Yes, it looked nice. Then he's done two episodes of Raw and an episode of SmackDown on weekly television. And I've already noticed one massive change is A, the fact that it's just good. We have good stories now. And B, we're finally not having repetitive non-finishes. Those of you that care.
You crack me up. We finally have good stories. I'll be in the other room watching my stories.
But yes.
No repetitive non-finishes. Yeah,
the thing that plagued wrestling for almost like a decade now is the weird habit they had on TV show, like on weekly TV, of going, well, I don't really know where to go next with this. And so the default was, well, how about this? They wrestle for 5 minutes and then one of them gets disqualified. And that way they can just wrestle again next week.
So it's like a cliffhanger.
Almost, except they do it like 5 weeks in a row because they just didn't have other ideas. And you're like, how many times do I have to watch Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin get counted out because they can't stop fighting outside the ring every Monday night for 5 nights in a row? Like, all right, well, at this point, you're just wasting my time. We haven't had a single non-finish in 3 episodes of weekly. Someone has won every match that's taken place on TV for 2 weeks now. What a concept.
So it sounds like you're a big proponent of this change.
I really like Triple H as a creative leader for the product. It's more entertaining now.
So what's Stephanie McMahon going to do to bring something...
She is now the CEO, so right. She runs the business aspect, so she's...
Yeah, but
signing.
She's also been a wrestler.
She has, but...
She's also done her share in the ring.
And that will be up to her husband, I guess, at this point, and...
Really? It can't just be up to her?
Well, she's not the creative
Hashtag feminism.
So her and, I believe, is... his last name is Khan. Now...
Khan!
Tony Khan runs AEW, and then, I forget, is it... Rick Khan?
I'm at a loss because I'm thinking Wrath of Khan.
He and Stephanie are now the co-CEOs, which I always laugh at. Every time Vince steps away from anything, he gives half of it to one of his kids, but then he always gives the other half to some actual businessman. And I always think, those poor kids.
Nah,
they're not trusted with anything.
That's his way of saying, figure out a way to get it all, like he had to.
I also find it entertaining, too, and this isn't related to wrestling, but that Shane is somehow the wealthiest of the McMahons. and he has the least to do with WWE, and that always gives me a chuckle, and it's because he is now, he currently, I believe, is the CEO or COO of Broadband China.
Really?
So he runs the largest broadband company over in China, and I don't know if you know this about China or not, Dal, but they have a lot of people that use a lot of internet. So
yeah.
So he actually makes twice as much as his dad does.
Imagine how much they'd, how much internet they'd use if the government let them, you know, look at whatever they wanted.
And isn't it just, it's so funny when you think about the McMahon family that have gone out to do other stuff, and you think about Linda McMahon ran for Senate twice, and all I can think of, the same Linda that got Stone Cold Stunnered on live television. Shane McMahon is probably most famous for jumping off of tall things. That's like, like that everyone that knows Shane McMahon is, oh, Shane McMahon. Yes, that's the McMahon that jumps off the tall things and hurts himself.
Well, someone's got to.
And he's the CEO of this broadband company in China.
Hey, they got tall stuff in China. He's always got that to fall back on.
Literally.
Yes.
Vince McMahon, literally a billionaire now. Why is he a billionaire? Because he spent most of his middle age adult life covered in baby oil and human...
He's a gross person.
He's been covered in the human feces more than one time. Ugh. Blood, baby oil. And he's like, yep, I'll take my $1 billion, please.
I guess.
It's got to be one of the weirdest families that has ever walked this earth.
I'd agree with that.
And just, in just sheer bizarreness, they got to be up there. But yes, at least the TV show is more watchable.
American
now.
Royalty. All right, Aaron, I think we're done.
I think that's all we got. So we'll see y'all next week. Once again, you can catch us on YouTube, on Spotify, on Podbean, and on SVINews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.